And good afternoon and welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston, and I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign, both your financial and prayerful contributions that have kept us on the air for some 40 years now. And we should be joined shortly by Peter DePalma and Father Thomas Celso for our regular listeners. You may be seeing a pattern here on the last Wednesday of the month. I've had Peter on, and Peter calls in from up in Kunkeltown, Pennsylvania, about an hour and change north of here, hour and 15 minutes north of here. And we've been talking about the gift of the divine will. And it was over the course of quite a few years, almost 40, that Jesus would appear to Luisa Picaretta, a young Italian girl in, started out as a young Italian girl in Italy. And, you know, she was born perfectly healthy. And as a teenager, she would consecrate herself to Jesus and eventually become a victim soul. And for decades, she would not get out of bed. And just her story alone, the story of her physical life, and you know, the only thing that she really ate and subsisted on was the Eucharist. She would be fed food, and after some period of time, an hour or two, the food would come back up, but not as we would expect. It would come back up the same way that it went down, and it just an interesting life. But she became a victim soul for Christ. He would appear to her on a regular basis. She would go to bed at night, and her body would go rigid, and she would not be able to move. Nobody would be able to move her. She would be like a giant block of lead. And it wasn't until a priest would come in the morning and make the sign of a cross on her hand that she was actually able to move. And so the story is quite intriguing. The message that Jesus gave her in this gift of the divine will is the last of the gifts that he was to bring. Of course, the greatest one prior to that was the gift of redemption, when he himself came and gave his life especially through the passion, for us, in order to open up the gates of heaven that would allow us to get to heaven someday. And of course, we thought that this would be the greatest and the last, but here Jesus comes in the with the gift of the divine will, and the idea that we can actually live the will of God now. And really, my introduction to it started with learning about Daniel O'Connor and some of the things that he had written. And we're actually going to have Daniel on in September again. But Daniel had written about Luisa Picaretta, and in particular, this gift of the divine will in light of the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. And I'll turn 61 in June, and been praying the Our Father since I was a kid, and never looked at it as a prophecy. But that line in there where we say, that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that, you know, always thought that that would happen when we get to heaven, but it's going to happen here on this earth. And when it does, it's going to be awesome. And we'll, everybody will either perish, I guess, or live in that gift of the divine will. So with that, we are being joined by Peter and Father Thomas Celso. Peter, how are you, pal?
Hi, Ken. Great to be here. We had some difficulty connecting, you know, and Father was just stating, you know, the other side has fun trying to get in our way sometimes, or get in God's way, I should say. Yeah. So I've got Father Celso on the phone. Sorry we're late to everyone. And Ken, I don't know, did you want to just kick things off since we're later? Did you want to do an introduction before I introduce Father?
Yeah, we were just talking for a minute there while I was waiting for you to call in. Letting folks know that it was the last Wednesday. We're going to be talking about the gift of the divine will, and kind of a real short 3-minute recap on the life of Luisa, and how this gift started to come to us. And that's kind of where I was when you joyfully rang in. And I completely agree. I actually had the same conversation with somebody earlier, a woman that's trying to get a ministry off the ground and is getting attacked in so many ways. And it always happens whenever we're trying to do something for the Lord. The evil one, his head will perk up and he starts to see what's going on and he'll do everything he can to try and stop us. But somehow or other, our Lord usually wins out and we figure out a way to make do. So, Peter, thank you again. Father Celso, it's really a pleasure to have you with us. I've been able to listen to you a number of times, both live through Peter and the recordings that Peter's made. So it's great to have you with the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here. God bless you.
And I had a conversation, actually a lengthy conversation with Peter last week, and we've had Father Iannuzzi on 2 months ago, and I think where we kind of wanted to go today was we've talked to our audience a little bit about, or actually a lot of it, about the gift of the divine will, and where Peter thought your expertise, if you will, and the one of the things that you do so well is talk about how these how this gift of the divine will, you know, came at just the right time, especially for what's going on in the world today. But before we go there, Peter, if you just wanted to let folks know who Father Celso is. Do we want to?
Yes, I will. Okay. Again, I cannot read Father's entire dossier, otherwise it would consume the entire program. But I'm going to hit a couple points. Father was ordained in 1979. He's now a retired priest in the East Rochester diocese. Father has had a really special relationship with the divine will. In 1994, the Bishop of Rochester gave Father Celso permission to work with the Secretariat of the Cause of Beatification in Trani, Italy. For the promotion of the servant of God, Luisa Picchetta. Father was also present at the opening of the cause on November 20th, 1994, on the Solemnity of Christ the King. Now, Father Celso was also asked, I think there was like five people, maybe Father can correct me, five, maybe six people that were asked to go into the Vatican archives and extract the volumes, all the writings of Luisa that were tucked away there for 55, 56 years. And he brought them all out, and with this team, under the guidance of then Cardinal Ratzinger, they copied all the writings. This was the decimation, as you may want to say. This was the outpouring of it coming out of the Vatican archives for the first time, and he was there. He was part of it. So that's incredible. Father continues to give retreats and days of recollection throughout the United States and Europe. He recently, in 2016, became a Third Order Benedictine Oblate of the Divine Will with Mother Gabriel Marie, which is the former Sister Catherine of EWTN with Mother Angelica. And Father also is on weekly programming with us here at the School of Mary, live at Mary's Hill. Again, short dossier, doesn't do the justice, but this gives you a flavor of who Father Celso is. And by the way, Ken, I personally am so blessed to have known Father for the last 5 or 6 years. He has allowed me to grow immensely. Again, I've got a long way to go, but immensely in the gift of divine will. And that's why I'm so happy he's here with us today. Father?
Well, thank you, Peter. Back in when I was doing my clinical pastoral education in Springfield, Massachusetts at Mercy Hospital, I was introduced to the divine will. And when I heard it, this was back in 1976, I was just astonished. I just said, this is what I've been looking for all my life. And it's before I was ordained, and it's been part of my priesthood. And really, the divine will, Jesus tells Luisa, the divine will is for now. He says it's a divine decree. As creation was a divine decree, as redemption was a divine decree, he says sanctification is now a divine decree. So this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming, the second Pentecost, if you want to say, is going to make the first Pentecost look like a drop in the bucket. The second Pentecost that's coming, it's, you know, you hear the flood purified the world with Noah. The blood of Christ purified the world through Jesus' redeeming us, Our Lady co-redeeming with Christ on Calvary. And now this fire, it's coming. And as our Lady has said, it's going to be good for some, it's going to be bad for most. Well, how can something be good and bad at the same time? It depends on who they are, what their life is about, what they're longing for. So this fire is a purifying fire. We're going to be consumed in the world. The world's going to be consumed in the love of God, and that's symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This fire that's coming upon the earth is going to be ecstasy for some, and wailing and grinding of teeth for others. So what's coming has to come. This third purification has to happen. God says to Louisa, Jesus says to Louisa that this is the justice of God. God has to give to humanity what they want. And where we are today, this is what the Book of Heaven is all about. Jesus tells Louisa, and this is what's so beautiful about reading the volumes every day. You really are listening to Jesus. Jesus dictated these words to Louisa. This is not an interpretation through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to Louisa, "You must put down in writing everything that I tell you, because through you, Louisa, the world is going to receive again that which it lost with Adam." Jesus has redeemed us, and we are still living, most of us, with our miserable human will. We go to confession each week. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do, and I don't want to live like this. And I need your grace, Lord, to change my evil ways. And God goes, good. He goes, good. I give you the sacraments it's as a medicine for your fallen human nature. And Jesus now says, now I'm going to give you the sacrament of sacraments. And that's what he calls the divine will, the sacrament of sacraments. And this sacrament, I said this to a Cardinal Burke. Cardinal Burke, I thought he was falling asleep when I was talking to him, but he was just tired. And I said, Jesus tells Louisa, I said, how can I wake him? How can I wake him up without, you know, too much trouble? And I said, and he wasn't asleep. He was listening intently. I said, Jesus tells Louisa that the divine will is greater than the Eucharist. And he opens up his eyes. He goes, "What did you say?" He says, "Give me that." I'm reading. I said, "Well, this is for you. I want you to read this." And he goes, "So," he said, "Jesus says this. How can God be greater than God? He can't. But the effects when you receive Holy Eucharist, the Holy Mass ends." Right after we receive Holy Communion, we receive the final prayer, the final blessing, and the Mass ends. Why? Jesus tells Louisa, because he wants to be in communion with his people. It's not a time for fellowship. It's a time for adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God and glorifying God. We're truly, truly worshiping the Lord God Almighty. This is why Holy Mass ends. So for 15 minutes when we receive the Holy Eucharist, we are in communion with God Almighty. And again, this is the three promises to Abraham in the Canticle of Zechariah that we pray every morning. The promises to be freed from the enemy. That's the first promise. And that happened when Jesus died on the cross. We were freed from the slavery of the devil. The second is free to worship God without fear. And when we receive Holy Communion, there's no one's terrified. We're receiving holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. We're receiving God Almighty, and none of us are afraid. None of us are really entering into that communion. And this is what God is waiting for. He says, because what's coming is the third promise to Abraham. And the third promise is the divine will, where we will become holy and righteous in God's sight all the days of our life. What is holiness? Who is holy? God alone. Who is righteous? God alone. What Adam lost was the image and likeness of God. And Jesus tells Louisa, he says, I am getting the world ready for the divine will. He says, which is a perennial communion with God that Adam had before the fall, where Adam walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. And our God is, how great it is to be Catholic. I mean,
Amen.
We have the Blessed Mother. We have Jesus in the Eucharist. We have the sacraments. We have the sacramentals. We have everything, the fullness of the truth. And Jesus is now saying, now I'm going to give the world more than what I gave to the saints. So this, he tells Louisa that I taught the saints how to do the will of God. He says, now I'm going to teach the world through you, Louisa, how to live in the will of God. What is that? That's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. The DNA that Adam lost. What is Adam's DNA? What did it look like? It was in God's image and likeness. When God breathed the Ruah of God, the breath of God, into the dust, what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. And he says, this is what I want to bring back to humanity, the image and likeness of God. This is sanctification. And he says, now is the time. Now, how do we know it's the time? Well, if you listen to Father Gobi, in 1997, Christmas time, Our Lady said to Father Gobi, everything's completed, everything's done. Well, what do you mean everything's completed? what's going on? Well, in 1996, Jesus says, when I release these writings from the Vatican, basically, he says, the face of the earth will change. Our Lady said to Father Gobi, the triumph of her Immaculate Heart will begin in Mexico City. The very first place that read all 36 volumes was Mexico City. This is Acuna's group, a great man, a wonderful guy, great family. And his prayer group read and studied 1 through 19 in Italian. When the volumes came out, that's where they first went. They first went to Mexico City. And he... within the year, his whole community, his whole prayer group read all 36 volumes. The triumph has begun. What's the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary? We become like her son. And I'm not saying anybody possesses that fully. Louisa possessed it fully. She's the little daughter of the divine will. But little by little, everything's getting ready for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's going to come through Louisa. When we really begin to read, one of the key passages to understand the divine will is volume 17, May 4th, 1925. Volume 17, May 4th, 1925. When you really read it, Jesus said to Louisa, in that passage, he said, Louisa, he says, did you write everything I told you? And she says, yes, Lord, I wrote everything that you told me. And he says, what if I told you that you didn't write about the most important thing? And she says, tell me what it is, Lord, and I'll put it down on paper. This shows the humility of Louisa. She never wanted to talk about herself. She didn't want to write anything. But because of the saints that were around her, like St. Honorable de Francia, he said, she is more of heaven than of earth. St. Padre Pio said, she is more of heaven than of earth. St. Padre Pio said, Louisa is a second sun that's going to give light and light and life to the church and to the world. St. Padre Pio said, in the third millennium, the church and the world will focus on Louisa Picaretto. And what I've been seeing over the years is more and more people are realizing this isn't about being good and holy and saintly. That's what we have learned with the saints until this point. This is about sharing in divinity, which the priest says every day at Holy Mass. This is the prayer, putting that drop of water, that drop of nothing, into that cup filled with wine. May we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. That's what's coming. That's what's here. That's what's begun. And it's for our time. When we think of Our Lady of Revelation in Rome, Italy, 1947, 40 days after Louisa died. Now think about this. When Jesus rose from the dead, 40 days later, he ascended into heaven. When Louisa died, 40 days later, Our Lady descended to earth and talked to a man, Bruno, who wanted to kill the Pope. He had a knife. He was a communist. He was an atheist. On the knife, it said, to kill the Pope with. And Our Lady said, why are you trying to hurt my son? And he goes, who are you? She goes, you know, I am the Virgin of Revelation. And he said, she said to him, Bruno, time has now come to an end. And he goes, the end of the world? And she goes, no, the end of time. We have to understand what Our Lady said to Father Gobi, the triumph will begin in Mexico City. What Our Lady said to Father Gobi, everything's completed. What did John Paul II say? Pope St. John Paul II said, get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. Get ready for this third millennium. Get ready. Okay, and you look around, everything has changed since 2000. Everything has changed. I remember flying before 2000. It was much easier than it is today. And now we're at this point where Jesus said to Luisa, I have to release all the demons. And Luisa says, you're the Son of God. You don't have to release all the demons. And Jesus says, Luisa, you don't understand. This is what humanity wants, and I must give this to them. So when you think about it, you know, all that's happening in the world, I mean, everything that's happening, it's there is a division. It's for God or against God. And God has to give, this is the divine justice of God, to give to humanity what they want. So Jesus teaches Luisa how to give up her human will. What's her human will? Her human will is what you do when you go to confession. That's your human will. And Jesus says, I want you to enter into my will. So he says, who is my mother and my brothers? He says, it's the ones who do the will of the Father. It's to have a relationship with Jesus that's intimate. It's a blood relationship as his own family. This is what God is looking for. It's not to be good. It's to be, to share in divinity. It's not, I shouldn't say it's not to be good. It's more than good, being good, more than being holy, more than being saintly. How do we do this? Jesus says, you must be perfected as my Heavenly Father is perfect. How do we do this, Lord? The way and the how is found in the book of heaven. And as you read this, every day, Jesus speaks to you. The people who are reading the book of heaven are happy. They're peaceful. They're joyful. What's going on? How can you be happy in this situation? Jesus is speaking to you. Jesus is leading you. Jesus is guiding you. When you spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament now, it's falling in love with God. It's not just, oh, I got my time in. I got five more minutes, and then my hour will be done. You don't go in and bounce off your knee and sit in the pew and read. It's like going to your grandparents. Hi, Graham. Hi, Mom. Hi, Grandpa. And you sit down and you read a book. I mean, it's to fall in love with God. And that's what's happening. Your intimacy with God become, you fall more in love with Jesus, more in love with Mary, more in love with the Holy Church, more in love with our dogma, doctrine. Sacred Scripture becomes alive. Remember the two on the road to Emmaus, their hearts were on fire. Weren't our hearts on fire listening to him? That's what happens when we read the book of heaven. Your heart is on fire. You're falling more in love with God. You're realizing the only one that makes you happy is God. And we fall in love the proper way. We fall in love with God, body, mind, heart, and soul. It's to be on fire with God and our neighbor as we love ourselves. It's proper order. It's God first. Anything and everything for God, and then anything and everything for our neighbor. It's to begin to share in divinity. It's to begin to have that true life of Jesus, that true life of Mary. I mean, I've read the saints. I've read St. Catherine of Siena, St. Teresa of Avila, St. John of the Cross. They're beautiful, wonderful, but they cannot compare to what Jesus tells Luisa, because it's Jesus who's speaking. It's not John of the Cross's understanding or Teresa of Avila's understanding. Well, I believe that this is the best way. Or, you know, you become a Franciscan. Why? To follow the rule of Francis. You follow the you dress like Francis. You follow the prayers of Francis. This is Jesus. That's the big difference, because What Jesus tells Louisa is, I want you to begin to live this life now. And what is this life? How are we supposed to live? Jesus says, my command to you is that you love one another. This life that Jesus teaches, this book of heaven that Jesus has given to St. Honorable de Francia, he said, you are the one that's going to give this to the world. So the St. Honorable de Francia, he's the one, the start of the Rogationists. It's through him, and we always dedicate the book of heaven to St. Honorable de Francia. It's his job. And even though he died, and Louisa said, he hasn't even begun to publish everything. Things were published in German. Things were published in Italian back in the 20s. But now it's throughout the whole world, and it's in many, many languages. And I remember being with the new archbishop in Corrado when he was just brought in a couple years ago. We looked at the pictures of the world where Divine Will's read, and in South Korea, there were so many prayer groups in the Divine Will. I mean, I was just astonished. And that was the time when, hey, we're going to go to war with North Korea. And I'm looking at all these prayer groups. I'm going, how can this war happen? And what's happened? There was no war. When you pray in the Divine Will, see, Jesus teaches, your whole prayer life changes. For example, when Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, he said, if you are the Messiah, command me to come to you. And Jesus says, come. And he gets out on the water, and he's walking on water. Humans don't walk on water. That's a divine thing. He's walking on the water, and he becomes to be afraid, and he sinks in the water, and he cries out to Jesus, Lord, save me. And Jesus grabs him. And he doesn't say, good boy, Pete. You walked 20 feet, and you began to sink. He says, what's wrong with you? Why did you fail? Where's your faith? Jesus wants to show us he is expecting us to work with him to work with us to such a degree that miracles happen. And
I would love to interrupt. I think we're coming up on a break, but just really quickly, I want to make sure that everyone understands too. Saint Honorable de Francia, number one, he's a saint. He was with Louisa for 19 to 20 years. He was also the spiritual director to Melanie Calvert, the seer for Our Lady of La Salette, fully approved apparition. So he's a very credible saint, and he was with Louisa for 19 years. He is the one that was in charge of this book of heaven, so everything's going to be well. Ken, back to you for the break.
Yeah, thank you, Peter, and thank you, Father. We are going to take a short break for our listeners. Don't go away. We have Father Celso for the whole hour. You're not going to want to miss it. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road? As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. Your host, Ken Johnston, and we've got a great guest today. But before we go back to the guest, just once again, I want to thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio through your prayerful and financial support. You've kept us on the air for over 40 years now, and we can't thank you enough, and especially in these difficult times where the cost of everything is going up. You continue to support us, and we certainly appreciate it. Our guests today are Peter DePalma and Father Thomas Celso, and on these last Wednesdays of the month, Peter's been coming on and either by himself or bringing somebody knowledgeable in the gift of the divine will with him, and we are really blessed today with Father Celso. I'm just thinking, Peter, in about 22 minutes there that Father Celso was explaining the background for this and how it came to be. I'm going to be sending out the audio to this to everybody I know that's willing to listen, because in that short time frame, you really get an idea of what this is all about. And I want to put this out there for our listeners. And we did this last time, Peter. And I don't know if I told you or not. We actually have a woman from Missouri now that has been joining us Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. And for her, it's 5 a.m. to 6:30 a.m. where we read the Book of Heaven with Deacon John Thompson and Maureen and a whole gang, sometimes up to as many as 20 people. So, again, I will put that offer out there. If anybody is interested in getting involved in our particular cenacle where we're reading the Book of Heaven, you can get in touch with me either through Maureen here at In His Sign or the Our House Ministries website. That's Our House Ministries, all spelled out, .org. If you use the contact information there, you can get in touch with me, and I will provide you with everything you need in order to get started. And just one more thing before we go back to Father is that, you know, Peter's got a great website at queenofthedivinewill.org, and on there are many, many audio recordings of Father Celso, Father Iannuzzi, who we had on a couple of months ago. The Book of Heaven is out there, all 36 volumes. You can download them in a Word format. There's also audio.
And audio too.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if you're back in the office and you travel at all in the car, it's a great way to pass the time instead of listening to politics and getting all revved up. Listen to the Book of Heaven. And one of the things that Father, and I'll just end with this, one of the things that Father Celso mentioned was that people that read the Book of Heaven are happy people. And I'm a recovery guy, Father. We've never met. I got a little over 30 years of recovery from alcoholism. And I tend to be a happy person. And I often get asked, you know, how can you be happy with all the things that are going on, whether it's in my own life, in my community, in my parish, in the country, in the world? And it's because we know that we're not of this world. And especially now that I've started to learn a little bit in these last 7 months or so about the gift of the divine will and the Book of Heaven, that we're not made for this world. We're made for heaven. And so to have this Book of Heaven where it's explained to us what it's going to be all about and what Jesus is willing to do for us and give to us and allow us to live in his will is incredible. And so one of the things that I struggle with, and I've mentioned this to Peter and Maureen, is it's almost like the divine mercy, where, you know, St. Faustina was canonized over 20 years ago, and there's still not a whole lot of priests that are able to preach about and talk about the gift of divine mercy. And now we have the gift of the divine will, which is, there's a lot more to it than Faustina's diary when you got the 36 volumes and the Book of the Passion and the Book of Mary. And so how do we get more priests involved? Because one of the things that I was made aware of is that we really shouldn't be reading this material on our own, that it should be guided, and to make sure that we have somebody knowledgeable, in particular a priest, in our case a deacon. How do we get more priests aware of this gift and what's available to us?
It's a
great question. I'll leave it for Father. But I do want to mention, though, that Father does have a program specifically, Ken, for the priests, deacons, sisters, mother superiors, any of the religious, and of course also includes the laity. He'll begin that series again first week of September. It's on Monday evenings at 7 p.m. But that's a great question, and I'm going to also be anxious to hear Father's response. And before I give it back to Father, you know, what you were saying about Father's 22-minute summary there, I mean, that could have filled a volume in of itself. That's why I'm so hungry for the archives. So when you go back, you say, there's no way you can take notes when Father speaks. There's no way. By the time you're ready with the, you're done with the first sentence, he's already on the second paragraph. So the archives are going to be so instrumental when Ken gives us the heads up that they're, they've been uploaded. So Father, I think you're muted. So if you can unmute yourself, the question pertaining to how do you get more priests involved? How do we break through the barrier? How do we get them enlightened and get them the joy that we feel? See, Father's muted. Can you unmute him from your... you cannot, right, Ken?
No.
Okay.
The beauty of technology.
We had a difficult time just connecting today. And again, there was no reason for it. But again, we understand that the other side likes to make things difficult. But but Father's a godsend. He really is. He's been he's actually dedicated his life. Can you imagine? I don't know anyone, Ken, that's been journeying as long as Father Celso, because he began reading the volumes and meditating and contemplating this back in the mid-70s. I mean, he was ordained in 79. So I don't know anybody that goes back. I mean, I know some, like, for example, you mentioned Deacon John. I think Deacon John goes back to the mid-90s when he began his journey. But Father goes back to the 70s, and that's why we're so blessed to have him, to have what's in his mind, what's in his heart, and of course he gives us what's in his soul.
Yeah, and that's
and it's so great that we can have a recording.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that you shared towards the end there. Father was sharing about St. Honorable de Francia, and that the first 19 volumes anyway, you have an imprimatur and a nihil obstat, and then, you know, these are were approved by the church. Now, some of these have, my understanding is, so the 20 through 36 have not been approved. They've been taken out of the archives or waiting to be translated, and the translations themselves need to be approved. But they are available, and that's why we need the guidance, I think, of knowledgeable people so that we don't get led astray. And certainly not put our own spin or our own interpretation on it. And so, but the idea that, and you mentioned this, that, you know, St. Honorable not only, you know, is a saint, but also was Louisa's confessor, if you will, and also the confessor for the La Salette apparitions. So these aren't, this isn't willy-nilly just thrown together and people, you know, putting us out there for their own sake. These are all things that have church approval, and no reason why we can't continue to do what we're doing in order to learn about the gift.
Ken, even the other volumes, the volumes 1 through 19 do carry the church's imprimatur in the Italian dialect, or in the Italian language, I should say. But all the volumes have been approved. The typical edition has already been released by the Vatican, so they found no error. Although 20 through 36 do not have the imprimatur nihil obstat, you know, when you have a canonization, the process like that, that's sort of like a moot point, because everything will be, you know, given one big stamp at the end. But all 36 volumes are approved, and all 36 volumes can be read. And like Father Iannuzzi warned us or cautioned us, there are some poor translations out there. And we do need, again, we can study, we can journey, we can discuss the divine will without a priest, but we must not make leap forward assumptions on if we have something that definitely needs clarification. We must then seek the advice of religious for that reason. If we had to wait for a priest just to be able to journey in a divine will cenacle, I mean, you're blessed to have Deacon John, Ken. You know, we're blessed here to have Father Celso, Father Nuzzi, Mother Gabriel. But many people in the country and in the world do not have access to a priest, let alone a divine will priest.
Right.
So, again, just want to make sure that everyone's clear. They can read all 36 volumes. They can discuss. They can get together. Just the Vatican, not the Vatican. Corrado just says, well, the Vatican actually says this, that there cannot be any new publications, which means I cannot put together all 36 volumes and say, this is from the School of Mary. That is prohibited.
Very
but
good.
Anything that's available to us right now, whether it be on the internet, whether it be in print, already existing, is free to be read. Actually, the Archbishop in his communication in 2005 says, I highly encourage this activity. So they're promoting us. Knowing. I mean, how are we going to love and nurture this gift if we know nothing about it? Remember, they look at the Baltimore Catechism, Ken? Know God, love God, and serve God in that order. Because if we love God, I mean, if we know God, we're going to love Him. And if we love God deep enough, we're going to want to serve Him. And now, through the gift of the divine will, we recognize the greatest way to serve Him is to give up our human will, to fuse our will with God, to be one with Him again. It's incredible.
Yeah.
I think Father's joined us again.
Very good.
No? Maybe not. He did. Father, you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Somehow you were muted, but thanks be to God, you're back.
Yeah, no, welcome
God
back.
Is good.
So
basically, I rattle on because I've been doing this for 46 years, and it's everything. Everything, the divine will, everything in the Holy Catholic Church points to the divine will. All the saints point to the divine will. As a matter of fact, even, you know, how come St. Thomas Aquinas didn't talk about it? Because he saw the divine will. Remember, he didn't finish the Summa. He says, everything I've written is mere straw compared to what God is going to do. That's what you find in the Book of Heaven. The Book of Heaven is so amazing. What I'd like to do is just give you a glimpse of what Jesus does. Here he talks to Louisa on July 27th, 1904, and this is Volume 6. He says, for the soul who truly loves God, this is Jesus talking, all things are divine will. Everything must be sealed by love. And so it starts. I was in my usual state. Louisa's usual state was suffering. She was crucified every day. This is the thing you'll find out how much she loves us. She says, if I have to die for each person so that they will receive the gift, she said to Jesus, I will die for each person. And so every day she was crucified. Every day she died, and Jesus would bring her back to life. And she'd say to Jesus, If you're going to kill me, bring me to heaven.
Mm.
You know, I mean, you know. So anyways, Jesus says, this is your life. So her usual state was dying, crucified every day. Jesus would crucify her. Because, see, when the Father sees someone that wants to be like Jesus, who loves Jesus, who wants to imitate Jesus, He gives them suffering. So all of us are suffering, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. All of us are suffering. And so God is asking us, would you suffer with me so that humanity can receive this gift? And that's our job. Our job is to say, yes, Lord, this gift is so amazing. I want everyone to have it, everyone to possess this. This is the gift of gifts. It's the prodigy of prodigies. So Jesus says, those who truly love God, all things are divine will. Everything must be sealed, the stamped. It must be. We must be branded by love. So she says, I was in my usual state, that suffering and also at the same time being in the presence of God. As Our Lady said to Bruno, she says, my children are going to enter eternity where they belong. She said, the devil and his children will always be trapped in time and space. They will never be able to participate in the beatific vision. That's our life. When you read the Book of Heaven, you become happy because the kingdom is coming, and it's already begun in us if we want. And so the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, even the sin eventually just disappears. We still go to confession each week. But what happens is God is saying, get ready to begin to live this life. And she says, my adorable Jesus came out from within my interior. So this is to help us understand where Jesus is. This beautiful soul, Louisa Picaretta, Jesus reigned in her. And holding my head up, for I was very tired for a long time waiting for Jesus, he told me, my daughter, the soul who truly loves me in anything that happens to her, internal and external, devours everything as one single thing, which is the most holy divine will. See, this is why the happiness of the people reading, everything is fiat. When the angel came to the Blessed Mother and said, you're going to be the mother of God, she said, she was troubled. She says, well, how can this be? I've already decided to live a life of virginity. I'm not going to know man. So how can I become the mother? How can I become the mother? And the angel said, it would be through the power of the Holy Spirit. She said, fiat mihi, let it be done to me, as you say. With her fiat, the incarnation took place. With God's fiat, the fiat lux, let there be light, the universe began. With Mary's fiat, it's incarnation. Now redemption can take place. We can be redeemed. And now with the fiat voluntas tua, the third fiat, we say that. Well, what is it? May your kingdom come and reign in me, this dust, on earth as it is in heaven. So God breathes. The rule of God, this breath of God is going to be breathed in us. And Jesus teaches Louisa to breathe every day. Breathe in this divine, I love you. Breathe. When you breathe, Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Breathe that breath of God, that rule of God that Adam had. My daughter, the one who truly loves me, anything that happens, she says, Jesus says, will be done in the divine will. Good, bad, it's yes. So they were going to kill the baby Jesus, and Joseph said to Mary, we have to flee to Egypt. Our lady didn't go, wait a minute, we've got a house in Nazareth. I mean, you know, why do we don't have to go to Egypt? She said, fiat. Everything was fiat for Our Lady. That's what God looks for in the divine will. He looks for souls that can say, yes, yes, Lord, let it be done as you say. Of all things, none seems strange to her. The soul looks as it is a product of the divine will. Therefore, she consumes everything in the divine will. If this is what you want, Lord, fiat, let it be done. When you look at a storm coming, it's going to be tough. Okay, it's going to be tough. But if it's raining, fiat. If it's sunny, fiat. If it's cold, fiat. If it's warm, fiat. Everything is, yes, Lord. Nothing seems strange to that soul. So her center, her aim, is only the solely the will of God. And this is what Jesus is teaching us as we read. Everything is fiat. You got to go to an appointment. You're driving down the road and there's a roadblock. Fiat. It's very important. If I don't get there, fiat. And what happens is, well, Lord, I love to see things that are difficult. Because I get a smile on my face and go, how are you going to do this one? I really want to see how you're going to, you as God, you're going to do this. I know you are. And he just always smiles and says, yes, get out. Watch what I'm going to do. Mm. And even in the divine world, this is the thing you're going to discover. You will think of something briefly. It'll just be fleeting. You know, it'll just be there and gone. And God gives that to you. So what happens an awful lot is you'll look at the phone and then 3 seconds later the phone rings. I mean, in the divine will, you begin to see things from a divine perspective. See, the three powers that God has given us are intellect, memory, and will, okay? He says, I have to change this for humanity. I want you to think from a divine perspective, from Jesus's point of view. I want you not to see things from a human human perspective. Is, oh, it's going to rain, it's going to be bad, it's going to be no good. We're so negative. Jesus says, be positive. Our Lady said, what did she say? She says, if you want peace, peace must start in your heart. Okay? If you want to be joyful, it must start in your heart. If you want to be happy, it must start in your... You have to agree to heaven. No longer earth, no longer the evil one, no longer the world, the flesh, and the devil, but the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus says, Louise says to Jesus, the soul prays her rounds. Okay, the round, what you're going to learn how to pray is the way Jesus prayed. That's the rounds. The way Mary prayed, that's the rounds. Every leaf on a tree is an I love you. Every blade of grass is an I love you. Every grain of sand, every drop of water, everything is an I love you around you. And Jesus says, I want your senses to be for God. I want you to hear, smell, taste, touch, the I love yous of God all around you. Paradise begins with that soul. Everything becomes peaceful. Everything becomes joyful. Everything becomes happy. We go back to where Adam was before the fall. And this is what's coming. Again, think of the DNA of Adam. What was the DNA of Adam? Image and likeness of God. What is our DNA? Get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and become food for worms. That's not part of God's plan. God's plan is said, you are my child. He says, I am going to make my children, the children, little children of the Holy Divine Will, my divine masterpiece. That's what he promises Louisa. And it begins here. It really begins now for the souls that are reading. It's not about being good and holy and saintly. It's to begin to understand how to share in divinity, as the priest says every day at Holy Mass. So the center of the child is their aim, is the only the will of God. She prays her rounds as if inside a ring without ever finding a way out, making of this prayer a continuous food. Later on, Jesus came back and he told me, Louisa, everything in you must be sealed by love. If you think, you must only think of love. If you speak, only speak of love. If you work, only work of love. If you palpitate, only palpitate in love. If you desire, only desire in love. And even if one desire, which is not love, comes out of you, it restricted within you, it will be converted into love and give it the freedom to go out to all the world. All of humanity is changing. Why did this Roe versus Wade be reversed? Because of the children praying in the divine will. What's coming is heaven. The evil one is not going to be banished from earth. That his time is over. When Our Lady says to Bruno, time has now come to an end, it's the end of the evil one. This is a glorious time to be alive. We're going to witness, we're going to participate in seeing, experiencing the evil one not leaving the earth, but leaving the universe. He's going to be gone. And what does that mean? No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin, no more death. And everything is going to be of everything is alive with God. Everything is living with God. Everything is that I love you of God, and we're going to participate in this. And while he was saying this, he seemed to be touching my whole person with his hand, placing many seals of love upon Louisa. See, this God is in charge. And what the divine will does is say to the Lord, you are my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. You are my everything. And God goes, good. Watch what I'm going to do. See, the saints built houses, built palaces, built orphanages, built churches, built, you know, convents, built rectories, built schools. Jesus says, I'm building the New Jerusalem for you. Everything's going to be done by God. St. Louis de Montfort says that. They'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done but what God has done for them. The divine will opens our eyes. We begin to see from a divine perspective. Opens our heart. We begin to love from a divine perspective. This isn't human. This is divine, which is what God planned for Adam in the beginning. This is the true life of Jesus, the new Adam. True life of Mary, the new Eve. This isn't about being good and holy and saintly. It's about sharing in divinity. And yet, no one possesses it yet. This is very far from everybody, because God has a great surprise for humanity. And he hints at it all the time of what's coming. If you can, we're going to be at Rome City, Indiana, on August 15th. That's the celebration of the Divine Will, and we're going to give a retreat on that weekend, Friday through Monday. Everybody's invited if they want to go. It's Rome City, Indiana, and if you want to read anything, go to louisapicaretta.me. Everything is free. It's anything you want. Jesus says, what I give freely, give away freely. This is, it's going to change your spirituality. As a matter of fact, the Archbishop of Corrado back in 1994 said, you're going to be, I can't think of the exact words, but it's like when you begin to read, your whole spirit, your whole who you are is going to change drastically. You're going to enter, and as John Paul II said, get ready for the new and divine way of holiness. He prayed that prayer at the canonization at Anna de Francia. I was 30 feet away from him when he said it, and I said, oh, he must be reading the Book of Heaven, because you're going to enter a new and divine way of holiness. And that's, God is offering this to anyone and everyone who wants it. He's not going to interfere with your freedom. It's up to you what you want. But if you say yes, nothing will be the same anymore. Nothing can be the same anymore. You can't be the same person anymore. I don't care if you're religious or not. You are going to change drastically. I remember this one priest. He was 90 years old, and he said, I've been waiting for this all my life.
Amen.
You can really experience Jesus in a way that he has planned from the beginning. He has predestined us to live at this time. It's not predestination. He's predestined us to live at this time because he has chosen us to be given the gift of gifts. This is, he saved the best for last. It's Amen. Not the end of the world. It's the beginning of the kingdom. And it's very, very close. This is so close, you can almost taste it. Get ready for things that are going to be very interesting, but God is with us. Remember Joan of Arc. She a young 16-year-old girl, became a head of an army, defeated another army, and she said three things. Number one, I'm not afraid. Number two, I was born for this time. And number three, God is with me. Those three things are necessary today. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be worried about. There's nothing to be anxious about. There's nothing to be complaining about. There's nothing to be negative about. What's coming is the kingdom. And as you read, as you study this, your life will never be the same. I can guarantee you. I can guarantee you. If you're reading, God is going to touch you in a way that will astonish you.
Father, we could go on for hours, pal.
Program with Ken.
Yeah, I was going to say we could go on for another hour.
Why the divine will and why now? And I think you nailed both of them. I think this is great. I think the information you've given us is bountiful. Again, it's all a matter of now desire. Do we want this? So I can't wait for the archives. I'm going to throw it back to Ken. I know we're running short of time.
All right. No,
can
thank
I give
you.
A blessing?
Yep. Absolutely.
Okay. May the Lord Jesus bless us all, divinely heal us all. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father, thank you. I can't thank you enough. Peter, thanks for all that you do, and especially for getting Father with us today. For our listeners, as Peter said, we'll get the archive up hopefully by tonight. And for myself, it's been a great 2 hours, and I look forward to being with you again next Wednesday. Until then, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of his hand. Take care, and God bless.